Well, good morning, everybody. How are you? Good? Doing good? So, the song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, there's which is one of my favorite songs, for sure, but there's a line in that song, may we be singing when the evening comes. And how many of you are Steeler fans in here? Okay, now how many of you just sang that song? May we be singing when the evening comes. Now, I know that some of yins, you get a little too involved in that they're Steeler gaming at. I know that. So tonight, when it's about 9:30 and Byron Leftwich gets sacked for the 10th time because he can't move, I want you to remember that you sang the song, May We Be Singing When the Evening Comes. All right? I just want to challenge you with that because I'm a preacher and I'm allowed to, okay? So I just want to make sure. Thank you for having us here. Not that some of you had a choice. You didn't even know we were coming. We just came. But thank you for having us. Thank you to the Mitchells for hosting us at your home and great hospitality. I honestly, I was thinking this on the way here. There are a few ways that I have felt more edified than just being with you all over the past day and just your family. And that's even without a voice for Heather. I can't imagine I could actually hear her when she talked. And maybe that's why I was so edified. I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. Definitely kidding there. Thank you for your hospitality. And I'm glad to be here. We're glad to be here. My wife is Jennifer. She's right there, and our oldest daughter is Scarlett. And then we have two kids back in the cage. That's Fisher. He's 3, and Naomi. She's about 1.5. So we're glad to be here. And I want to talk to you. Well, we're from Redeemer on the Mount Church in Pittsburgh. You got the little biographical information. We planted the church about 3.5 years ago. And I grew up in the Pittsburgh area. Jennifer grew up not far from where Matt grew up, near Bucyrus, Ohio, and he was in Shelby. So we've been married about 7 years. We've got the 3 kids. And anything else I didn't cover? No? Okay. So now let's talk about what's really important, which is the Word of God. The title of the sermon today is, You Gotta Serve Somebody. Oh, and by the way, what's your name? What's her name? Bejen? Okay, you did a very good job today. Very good job playing the worshiping the Lord through the violin. That was awesome. You got to serve somebody. How many of you are familiar with that song from Bob Dylan? Familiar with that? So he speaks truth in that song. Now, I can't advocate for his other songs, and I can't advocate for everything that he's ever represented, but you got to serve somebody. Some of us have this illusion that we are totally free. No one can tell us what to do. There was a poem, some of you are familiar with it, Invictus, that, how does it go? I'm the master of my own fate. I'm the captain of my own soul. And those are very sad words, in my opinion, because we gotta serve somebody. Every single one of us, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, we are under somebody's headship. The question is, are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you serving Satan? And what you're like, whoa, I got to bring Satan into this. That's like, oh my gosh, that's really serious. You're talking about the devil here. Well, there are really only 2 that we serve. If we're serving ourselves, inherently, we're serving our father, the devil. But if we have been born again of the Spirit of God, then we are free to serve Jesus Christ. And so what I'm going to talk to you about for the next little bit is our illusion of freedom that we have and how we operate within that. So I'm not going to preach through the whole chapter of Romans chapter 6, but I do want to call your attention to a couple things in the beginning of the chapter. What shall we say then? Verse 1 of chapter 6. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? You see, apparently some of those in the Roman church were under the impression that because they were now given the grace of God, that they were given His undeserved, unmerited favor, that they could just go do whatever they wanted to do. And some of them wouldn't spell it out that clearly, but that was their mindset. And that's true for some of us sometimes. Well, you know, I'll just ask forgiveness for this later. And maybe we don't think that. That's not in the forefront of our minds, but we know it as we're getting ready to make a decision to sin or not to sin. Jesus died on the cross, you know, and He covered all, He said it's finished. So, you know, and we use these beautiful theological ideas, these core doctrines of ours, and we abuse them. We trample the work of Christ underfoot. And Paul says, shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? No! Are you crazy? What? What's wrong with you guys? No, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus? And then he goes in to the idea that when Christ was buried, if we have trust and faith in Him, then we were buried with Him. And when He was raised again, it's as though we were raised also through faith in Jesus. That the resurrection power of God is also at work in us. And so through our baptism, as we become believers, we say, I go down into the water as the old, and I come up in the new because of the Spirit of God that has given me the new birth, leading to a living hope. So that's what Paul is referring to here. But he's dealing with this conflict because these people who know this, who know that Christ died and that Christ is risen and that He'll come again, they're still struggling with these desires. It's no different than the Israelites of the Old Testament. They saw God. You ever wonder how they could have seen such miraculous deliverance? I mean, they literally saw God part a huge body of water. And they walked through it. They got hungry. You ever get hungry and you just say, man, God, I'm really hungry. And a nice chicken breast falls from the sky? Because that's basically what happened. They're like, man, I'm really hungry. Boom! Big loaf of bread. It wasn't really a loaf. I mean, it was sort of unleavened. And it looked more probably like a cookie or something. Maybe a flat little disc item. That's what we do when we celebrate. We have the little discs, so that must have been what the Israelites had. But anyhow, and they called it manna. Scarlet, you know why they called it manna? What does that mean? What is it? That's one of our favorite little things. Sorry, she's embarrassed. But what is it? They said, what is it? But they saw God's miraculous deliverance. He fed them. He clothed them. He gave them water to drink just out of a rock. I'm really thirsty. You do that? You hit a rock and water comes out? Oh, it's good water. No, that doesn't happen. But the Israelites saw these miracles, and yet they persisted in sin. They were delivered out of slavery because they were serving somebody. They were serving Pharaoh. They were serving their Egyptian taskmasters in the Old Testament. And then the Exodus happened, and God delivered them. But yet they fell once again, didn't they? And so do we. We have seen God's power displayed. We've heard, at least most of us, have heard the gospel. We've even said, I believe it. And you've even gone further and said, not only do I believe it, I want to live now for Christ. But there are some times where we just say, oh, I'm just going to go back to the old way. I'm going to go back to Egypt, so to speak, again. That's what the Israelites did. Do you remember? They said, boy, Moses, you brought us out here into the wilderness to die. At least back there in Egypt, we had nice pots of meat and that. At least then we had some leeks and garlics and onions, which sounds disgusting to me, but maybe it sounded good to them. I don't know. Especially in the face of what they were dealing with, which was reptiles and scorpions and a lot of sand and probably some hot weather. But they had the deliverance. The promised land was within their sight, but they said, we want to go back. And as Christians now, sometimes when we are faced with circumstances that cause us to question, circumstances, difficult things, some of it, I mean, just some of the prayer requests that I heard in this room today, difficult stuff. This is not, oh, I stubbed I looked at this like I stubbed my toe, and then I was going to say I broke a nail. I don't know what I was saying there. But these are not little, small, minuscule things. These are big deals. And sometimes we say, Lord, I know what you've promised, but I just want to go back to where I'm comfortable. I want to go back to Egypt again, so to speak. I want to go back to my old life, because better the devil I know than the devil I don't. What Paul was dealing with here. He was saying, don't you know? Look at verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey them as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. See, the Apostle Paul wanted to remind these Christians in Rome, don't you know? And I want to say the same thing to all of us. And don't worry, Pastor Matt didn't come to me and say, boy, we got some major sin going on right now, okay? So you need to really get on it. If you're paranoid about that, well, then maybe this message is for you. But I promise he didn't tell me your name. So the names have been changed to protect the innocent. But he said something about you. Okay, I'm just kidding. Don't you know, don't you remember, call to mind the promises of God once again, Christians of Lance Evangelical Free Church. Call to mind again that Christ has died, that Christ is risen, and that He's coming again. Don't give yourself over to things that are in your past. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, in verse 18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. See, there's this illusion of freedom that many outside of Christianity have. And some people won't come to Christ because they think, well, if I believe in God, I got to start doing all those rules. And I can't have any fun anymore. You ever hear that assumption? Okay, once I'm a Christian, no more fun. See, actually, God sets us free so that we can be slaves of His, so that we can have life abundantly. Like Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. You see, God is not a cosmic killjoy who just wants us to sit down and shut up and obey. And then at the end, you'll get this nice gift called eternal life. No, God wants to give us the desires of our heart. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. You see, I used to walk in slavery to sin. My teenage years were pretty much filled with every day, just about, from the time I was 15 until the time I was about 19, getting high or drunk or both in some kind of way. And I thought that that's what freedom was, that I could do whatever I want. My mom's not going to tell me. My dad's not going to tell me. My teachers aren't going to tell me. I can do whatever I want. And I'm going to have fun. I'm going to feel good. You see, that was a prison without bars. I didn't know that I was enslaved to those things. And after a few years of this, I kind of started to catch on. I believe it was the Holy Spirit beginning to work on my heart. Probably not beginning, but I was starting to become aware of it, where I just said, man, is this all that I'm ever going to do? Is this just what my life is going to be made up of? That I'm just going to get high. I'm going to call my buddies up. You want to go here? You want to do this? You want to do that? Oh, let's get high first. And it just became so miserable. But that is what many non-Christians think of as freedom. I'm not saying they're all addicted to something or all, you know, going here, doing this, doing that. But whatever it is that keeps people from coming to Christ, they think it's because I don't want to have to give up all my stuff. I don't want to have to stop having fun. I don't want to have to begin obeying all these rules. But they don't realize that they're already obeying all the rules. It's just the wrong kind of rules. They're already serving someone. It just happens to be Satan, who's the father of what? Of lies. Jesus said when he speaks, he speaks lies because that's all he knows how to do. But that's freedom? I don't think so. And so the Apostle Paul is reminding these Christians, say, wake up, don't you know? Don't go back to that life. And then he really breaks it down, and I identify with this so much, and I believe we can all identify with this, regardless of what your past is made up of. I put this in human terms, verse 19, because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. Now instead, offer yourselves, as Paul talks about later on in the chapter, in Romans 12, where he says, in view of God's mercy, in view of the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, in view of the fact that we have been justified by faith, made righteous in His sight, declared not guilty, in view of the fact that He demonstrated His own love for us, that while we were stuck in our sin, He gave His life. In view of all of that undeserved grace, offer yourselves willingly. Lance Evangelical Free Church, offer yourselves willingly to the Lord. Say, here I am. Use me. Send me. Do with me what you choose. Because God's will not only is the best for God, but it's also the best for us. I'm a big fan of John Piper. I'm a big fan of some of the things that he talks about related to Christian hedonism. That it is okay to seek your happiness, to seek your delight, provided that you're doing it within the context of a relationship with Almighty God, who created you, by the way, and knows what's best for you, BTW. Texties for, by the way, for those who don't text. That our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee, O Lord. That the chief end of man and woman and children is to glorify God and to what? Come on, Westminster Doctor. Enjoy Him forever. This is Westminster Catechism, right? Or the Confession. Something like that. Sounds official. The chief end of human beings is to glorify God, to make His name great, and enjoy Him forever. It's okay to enjoy life. It's okay to have fun, provided we do it within the context of our relationship to Christ, who made us, and who has wonderful plans for our life, that sometimes involve suffering, and that suffering produces perseverance, and that perseverance produces hope, and that hope does not disappoint, because it leads to rejoicing in the glory of God. It's amazing the way God has worked it out. I'm so grateful to be now freed from the slavery to sin, as Paul says in verse 20, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? He just wants to put it real simple. Like, did you benefit from all that stuff you were stuck in and from the stuff that you're now dipping your toes back in the water to test out again? And folks here, what benefit did you derive from that old life? So what makes you now want to go back to it? But now, verse 22, and there's some good buts in Scripture. There's some good buts. I mean, buts are good sometimes. Like, but, and sometimes you're like, oh, what do you mean, but? You're like, I really like you, but. Like, that's a bad but. Okay, but there's a lot of good buts in the Bible. This is a good one. But now, there's a really good but in Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, abounding in love. Okay, that's a really good one. You can check that one out later. But verse 22 here. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, because you got to serve somebody, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. I can guarantee you that Paul is not saying that now that you live this way, you're going to earn the eternal life. No, that's, and he'll clarify that in the very next verse to say it's a gift. But what he is saying is that now you can have a clear conscience. You can know that you've put away that old life because Christ died. And you've been baptized with Christ. And you can be proud. You can boast in the Lord because you've been set free. And you become slaves to righteousness and all of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that He bears in our lives. So what are you today, what is Satan putting out there in your life? As you go through trials, as you go through hard times, or even if you're just kind of rolling along and things seem to be going just fine, what's he dangling out there to say, you remember this? Remember this relationship? Get on Facebook, see somebody you used to know. Remember that person? You were having fun then, weren't you? Remember this website you used to go to? Yeah, that was nice. Remember this place you used to go? You had some fun there, huh? Always leaves out the part about the chains, though. Always leaves out the part about the shame and the guilt and the turmoil. You don't remember that part. So don't you know that you've been set free? Don't you know that God offers us something better? Well, we can go to bed with a clear conscience. We can wake up surely needing His mercy like any other day. Because even on our best day, our righteousness is still like filthy rags, which thanks be to God, He gave us His righteousness. So that when God looks down at us, and if our trust and faith is in Christ, He sees us as righteous. Bless you. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. It's that simple. It's like when you work, you earn money. When you sin, you earn death. It's bad news. Very, very bad news. Death. Like dead, like all the way dead. Not like, oh, I'm thinking about dying. Oh, I'm kind of sick. Oh, I got a little... No, dead. Dead. Forever. Dead. It's appointed for man and woman to die once, Hebrews 9:27 says, and then to face judgment. So if you're stuck in sin and your faith is not in Christ here today, when you die, you will be separated from God forever. That's bad news. But there's another but, right? That's a good one. But the gift of God, the gift, the free gift, free for you, not for the Son. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're somebody today who has never put your faith in Jesus, I'm not going to urge you or persuade you. The Holy Spirit is already working in your mind and on your heart to draw you to Himself. All I can do is tell you that coming to Christ and putting faith in Him and trust in Him is a decision you will never regret. Your life might get a little bit worse for a little while because sometimes suffering comes more to the children of God than it does to those in the world. But you will have someone who will never leave you, who will never forsake you, and you will have sure and certain hope. Not like, oh, I hope it's going to be nice today. No, no, no. This is a sure and a certain hope that never goes away. That blessed assurance that Jesus is mine and I am His. And if you're somebody who has already put your faith, your trust in Jesus, I want to invite you again today to rejoice in your salvation, to cast off those things that are easily entangling you, and to put your eyes on Jesus once again, to give thanks to Him for setting you free from the slavery of sin. And just shut that door. Just shut that door. You don't have to go back to that again. Just shut that door. You've been set free from that, and you are now a slave to righteousness. See, there's a beautiful passage in Philippians 2. It says that Jesus did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but instead, He humbled Himself, taking the form of a servant. And He humbled Himself even to death, death on a cross. So He suffered. That at the name of Jesus, don't worry, I'm almost done. I've seen a lot of yawns. Wake up! I'm landing the plane now. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You have a choice. You can bow willingly now, or you can bow forcefully later, because we all have to serve somebody. I praise God that He delivered me, that He chose me before the foundations of the world and enabled me to make that choice to bow willingly. And I have no regrets about that decision. And I encourage you to do the same, to bow willingly now to Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior.